So today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Ramu Gidhari Prabhu to enlighten us on Srimad Bhagavatam. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Start.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Prabhuji, now we can hear you.
Yes,
please accept
can
our humble
start.
Yes, Prabhuji, you can start the class. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 2. Text number 4. Maitreya Vacha Pura Vishvasrujam Satre Sameta Paramashraya Tatamara Ghana Sarve Sanu Gamunayo Gaya. Translation: the sage Maitreya said, in the former time, the leaders of the universal creation performed a great sacrifice in which all the great sages, philosophers, demigods and fire gods assembled with their followers. Purport. Upon being asked by Vidura, the sage Maitreya began to explain the cause of the misunderstanding between Lord Shiva and Daksha, because of which the goddess Sati gave up her body. Thus begins the history of a great sacrifice performed by the leaders of the universal creation, namely Marichi, Daksha and Vasishta. These great personalities arranged for a great sacrifice for which demigods like Indra and the fire gods assembled with their followers. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva were also present. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Vidam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasri Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Maitreya Uvacha Pura Vishvasrajam Satre Sameta Paramashraya Tatamara Ghana Sarve Sanugha Munayognaya. The sage Maitreya said, in the former time, the leaders of the universal creation performed a great sacrifice in which all the great sages, philosophers, demigods, and fire gods assembled with their followers. So, we are going to start a new series of pastimes. The chapter title, Daksha Curses Lord Shiva. So, through this pastime, there are many, many interesting lessons that will be taught for us. So it is very instructive and definitely needed for each and every one of us to contemplate on. So through this chapter, through this particular story, we are going to learn the characteristics of a Vaishnava and various other primary behavior that a devotee need to inculcate. So as a part of our discussion today, we will share four sets of lessons. These four sets of lessons will help us to form the premises and basis for knowing this particular episode. Through this episode, these four sets of lessons that we learn today, we will be able to understand the purports that Srila Prabhupada is going to share. And this will also help us go deeper into this particular pastime. So already before this shloka, the previous three shlokas, you have already discussed about glories of Lord Shiva and also glories of Parvati. And some fundamental questions have already been asked. That how is it possible when already established personality like Lord Shiva, who Srila Prabhupada called him as Charachara Guru, the spiritual master of animate and inanimate, who is a great devotee of the Lord, kind of, you know, got inimical, or somebody would become inimical towards him, Daksha and Lord Shiva, how they got in misunderstanding. So the whole story is based on some characteristic behavior. And we need to understand, whenever such leelas are shared, we have a fundamental understanding that some of these personalities, demoniac personalities, our ideologies and our mindset, the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam, these personalities within us are completely getting crushed. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj has already clarified about the demons of Vrindavan. Whoever demon who came to attack or torture the devotees of Vrindavan, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj has already clarified how each of them represents some of the vices within us. So we also have a Daksha type personality within us. Even though Daksha is a Prajapati, Prajapati means one who is in charge of fathering the population, so he is not just an ordinary person. But at the same time, in spite of him being the great person, that he made some mistakes. So it's very interesting to see how we will learn that our being great and our being having the very senior position doesn't entitle anything till we surrender our consciousness and dovetail our attitude for the service of the Lord. So it is very nicely explained that Vaishnavanam Yata Sambhu, that of all the great Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva is one amongst them, and such a Vaishnava is going to deal in this scenario very interestingly. Even though we are going to discuss about this pastime in a very detailed manner, the quick overview or maybe the quick 2 minutes update on what Shiva does will be needed for us to churn these four lessons that we are going to learn today. Lord Shiva, when he was insulted by Daksha, so it is very nicely mentioned that even though Lord Shiva is a very great devotee, very humble devotee, he does not take individual offenses of people. He does not take any personal pride. He does not have any specific agenda for himself. But at the same time, Lord Shiva chopped off Daksha's head. So the reason that he did that was actually because in that arena, Lord Shiva had four responsibilities. Number one, he need to teach a lesson because Daksha, Lord Shiva being a very senior member, it's important for him to set a lesson so that nobody else in the future makes the same mistake. Lord Shiva had a responsibility to take care of his wife. Lord Shiva had a responsibility making sure that his own followers, the Bhutaganas, does not have any, because they were getting furious, they were getting so upset, they were getting irritated because their master, Lord Shiva, was humiliated by Daksha. So it is important to, you know, take care of their emotions as well. And last but not least, it is imperative to educate all of us in the future how when such situation we are faced in, how do we need to handle and what do we need to crush within ourselves and what do we need to water within ourselves. So Lord Shiva actually simultaneously by his chopping of Daksha's head, he did these four things. And eventually, the later part of this pastime, Daksha repents and offer a prayer. That prayer is called Chamakam. There are two things that glorify Lord Shiva. One is called Rudra, another is called Chamakam. So because Daksha's forehead was chopped off, a goat's head was given to Daksha, and in that goat's head, he is chanting a lot of Vedic mantras, glorifying Lord Shiva, and that is called Chamakam. Rudram and Chamakam. Chamakam has got, if you see the whole prayer, by some good fortune in my childhood days, I had an opportunity to learn them. Prayascha me, prayascha me. So like that, every second sentence there will be me, where how a goat used to produce a sound. So it is not some human mythological compilation. This is a historical record in which these episodes are, you know, recorded for our future transformation. So we are so much indebted to all these great personalities because of whom we are learning a lot. So Lord Shiva simultaneously took care of these four things. That's the whole history. So with this background, let's understand what are the four lessons that we are going to learn today as a part of, you know, a foundation towards this particular Leela. The first and foremost lesson is that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami tells in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that in Bhakti Lata Bhij, in the process of Bhakti, there is one thing which is called weed, another thing which is called seed. Okay. So what he says, that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami very clearly explains that there are many, many weeds which are very obvious, and those obvious ones we will remove it easily. But there are certain weeds which are there in our heart, but if we do not know to recognize them very efficiently, if we do not know to recognize them prudently, then we may misunderstand weed as seed and misunderstand seed as a weed. To clarify it a little further, he says there are two similar saplings. The seed has sprouted and the weed is also sprouting. The two saplings, they have similar looks. And one is actually Bhakti Lata, another one is actually a weed to disturb the process of Bhakti. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, because of the identical appearance of the weed and the seed, we need an expert guidance. We need an expert personality's help for us to uproot the weed and water the seed. Without the help of an expert personality, if we try to perform our Krishna consciousness, probably we may remove the seed, considering it as weed, and water it the weed. So that is why we need to learn within ourselves to identify bhakti like and bhakti. So in Hindi we say Krishna Bhakt Jaisa or Krishna Bhakt, which means by having Kantimala, Tilak, Dhoti, Kurta, initiated name, and having deities, Bhagavatam, eating prasad, all those things are glow. Also, all those things are very nice. But if we do not know to recognize, if we do not know, our attitude is not changing towards positive Krishna consciousness, if the attitude is not changing towards serving the Supreme Lord, the attitude is not changing towards identifying ourselves as part and parcel of the Lord. I spoke on the other day in the Chaitanya Charitamrita class. We will talk about it today, about part and parcel. So the point is, if our attitude is not changing, if all the external criteria have changed, still we have not made any progress. So our first lesson, because this foundational 4 points, you can stick on your wall and you can remember them throughout this Leela, because this is going to be talked time and again, and as a part of this particular historical episode. So in our devotional journey, we need at least to learn to recognize what is weed, what is a seed. And for that, Paramatma does extend all the necessary help. The only biggest challenge for us is we need to hear Paramatma. And please understand, Paramatma speaks to us through three different sources. One is he helps us from within, which means we get what is called as intuition, reflections, what we call as some directions, some thoughts. So that is done by Paramatma. And second is Paramatma speaks to us through bona fide spiritual master and the self-realized souls and Vaishnavas. And three, Paramatma helps us through challenges in our life through which we learn. So in our life, we need to know that somehow or other, we need to learn after practicing Krishna consciousness for a lot of time. When we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, as a student of Srimad Bhagavatam, at least we need to come to a stage of learning to recognize our mistakes in terms of identifying what within my heart is bhakti and what within my heart is bhakti lookalike. And bhakti lookalike is not going to help. In fact, it is very, very dangerous. There is a very interesting analogy that is again given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. The analogy is about of a snake and also a snake in his jewel in the hood of the snake. He says, jewel in the hood of the snake is more poisonous than the snake by itself. Because the snake, everybody is afraid of and will run away. But the jewel in the hood of the snake is more dangerous because we may get carried away to get attracted towards the jewel, and in the process of it, we may be bitten by the snake. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gives an explanation that generally envious people are very, very dangerous. But more dangerous are those people who are not having clear attitude in the garb of a devotee. So the Prabhupada 4.2.2, he says, Lord Shiva, the spiritual master of the entire world, is free from enmity, is a peaceful personality, and is always satisfied in himself. He is the greatest among the demigods. So he is explaining about three characteristics of free from enmity, peaceful personality, and is always satisfied in himself. And this is characterized as one of the special qualities of a Vaishnava. So the reason why we need to take help and identify our seed and weed is, otherwise, whether we are a Prajapati, whether we are Indra, whether we are Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, or whatever that may be the case, we may dig our own graveyard for our Bhakti Lata Bheej, for our devotional journey. So our first reflection in our today's session is to understand that we need to recognize what is bhakti and what is not bhakti, or what is look-alike of bhakti. Look-alike of bhakti is coming from the corner of sense gratification, and actual bhakti comes from the corner of our sincerity. So with that as a basis, our bhakti process, and to help this out and to, you know, make sure that we actually identify this, we have different processes which we discussed in the past also, and in this through the series you will be discussing about, when we discuss about the characteristics of Daksha, why he behaved that way, what is the basis of it, how he repented, then he giving a piece of advice. So many things are going to come in this series. The second reflection as a part of this is that when I am trying to get forward in the journey of Krishna consciousness, I need to also, as an individual, I need to also have some understanding of how I need to conduct myself. So Lord Shiva, in this particular scenario, is showing himself that how great he was and he is, and how each and every Vaishnava, we will be put through various such circumstances in our life, and how do we need to handle. So Srila Prabhupada explains this in a very nice way. He says, a Vaishnava is as soft as a lotus petal and as hard as a thunderbolt. So it is not that a Vaishnava is not getting angry. It is explained that a Vaishnava gets angry, gets upset, when other Vaishnava gets insulted. A Vaishnava is as soft as a lotus petal when he is insulted. So it is not a Vaishnava person is the one who is completely insensitive. He is a person who ignores all the insults that is coming towards him, and he definitely take offenses to the insults given to his devotees, to other devotees. I'll narrate a very interesting pastime from Chaitanya Charitamrita. There was a person by name Gopal Chappal. This Gopal Chappal has insulted Sri Thakur, and after he insulted Srivas Thakur, it so happened that he was so proud, and he was, you know, he was going around and claiming that how he insulted and stuff like that. And incidentally, Srivas Thakur did not retaliate back, or did not try to settle some scores. He also took it very humble. A very, you know, 2 days later, this Gopal Chappal developed leprosy because of his insulting Srivas Thakur. And his leprosy became so acute to an extent that Gopal Chappal went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and asked him for some help, because he had so much of itching, so much of problem from his leprosy that he couldn't handle himself. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is considered as the most munificent incarnation, told Gopal Chappal, saying that, I am sorry, I can't do anything to help you. It is you who have to go and ask for forgiveness from Srivas Thakur, and if Srivas Thakur forgives you, then there's a hope. Till that point in time, I can't do anything. So Gopala Chappal, who had humiliated Srivas Thakur, went back to Srivas Thakur, and Srivas Thakur, with no ego, no pride, or no any other, he didn't have any. He didn't carry any grudge. So he said to Gopala Chappal that, don't worry, I have not taken any offenses of what you have done, and now I am very happy to see that you are interested in correcting yourself. But since you already have some sort of enmity, or you may have some sort of grudge towards me from the past, or maybe you must have completely gone out of it, but still I suggest you go and surrender yourself to Purushottam Das Thakur. So Gopal, Srivas Thakur is directing Gopala Chappal to Purushottam Das Thakur, and Purushottam Das Thakur, getting to know all the background information, he is forgiving and educating Gopala Chappal for the rest of the life what he is supposed to be doing. So Purushottam Das Thakur is initiating Gopala Chappal by the name Devaki Nandan Das. So Gopala Chappal, after transformation, became Devaki Nandan Das, and Purushottam Das Thakur is giving him an advice that for the rest of his life he need to glorify Vaishnavas and serve the Vaishnavas. That is the duty of his life. So with all humility, Devaki Nandan Das is composing a song. I had shared this with the other group with whom we have been doing Chaitanya Charitamrita. Probably, in this forum I had shared that song. There's a song called Vrindavana Vasiyata Vaishnavera Gana. So it's a very interesting song. We all in our, community in Bombay here, we encourage all our students to sing this song every day in a prayerful mood. It's called Vrindavana Vasijata Vaishnavera Gan Pratame Bandana Kori Sabaracharan Neelachala Vasijata Mahaprabhu Gan Utepo Dihavandon Sabaracharan. So the song goes like this. And in that song, it is very nicely Devaki Nandan, who used to be Gopala Chappal, is writing that Brahmandat Tarite Shakti Thare Jane Jane Eveda Purane Gunagaye Jeva Sune. He's saying Brahmanda Tarite Shakti Thare Jane Jane. In this Brahmanda, not only this earth, the entire Brahmanda, Tarite Shakti Thare Jane Jane, this one devotee, a single devotee, has got a power to deliver the entire Brahmanda, one single devotee. Eveda Purane Gune Gaya Jeva Sune. So he is writing a beautiful song in a completely mood of repentance. I offer my respects to Vrindavan devotees, Mayapur devotees, Neelachal devotees, so many things he is saying. So the reason this is being shared is that a Vaishnava like Lord Shiva, he taught by his behavior how to conduct himself in terms of simultaneously being loving as well as simultaneously being instructive, partly being in the mood of anger. And his mood of anger is also a mood of blessings for the recipient. So anything comes out of a Vaishnava in terms of whether it's a curse or a blessing, both are in favor of a practitioner. So our second reflection hence is that we as a practicing devotee, we need to understand that how to deal in a situation when there's another who is insulted. So in the point number two has got 3 points. Number one, Vaishnava is a person who tolerates all the insults that comes upon him, considering them as Krishna's mercy upon him. And there are plenty of examples. And a Vaishnava should not tolerate even for a moment the insult that is upon another devotee. And point number three, just because you are in the process of educating others, you should not assume yourself superior to everybody. We should maintain a humble state of mind. So purport number 4.2.1 and purport of 4.2.2, Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains how gentle Lord Shiva was, how humble Lord Shiva was, and how efficiently Lord Shiva handled the situation. So in our lives, as practicing devotees, as leaders, as Bhakti Vriksha members, as congregation devotees, we deal with various types of devotees in our lives. So we need to learn that we should definitely handle all the insults that is coming up, coming to us in a better way, so that we use them as an opportunity to reflect upon ourselves, and we should not tolerate any insult to others. So that's why I always teach a formula that we, as a practicing devotees, we need to learn to be pessimistic towards ourselves and optimistic towards all the Vaishnavas. Pessimistic here does not mean that we lose our self-confidence in practicing Krishna consciousness. It means we go into a reflective mode to correct ourselves in such a way that we make progress in Krishna consciousness. So that's our second reflection. The third reflection is that it is linking to our austerity of speech. Because here, the whole problem started the way Daksha started his communication. So, in a Vaishnava relationship, we need to learn to communicate certain things nicely. A prayer is a communication. A request to a Vaishnava is a communication. A service to a Vaishnava is a communication. We communicate how we are dependent on them. We communicate how they are great. We also communicate how we are in need of their blessings. And even if a person is in the process of educating others, we need to know how to communicate that as well. So in this entire Leela, in this entire episode, historical episode, we will say art of communication and the problem in bad communication. I would like to recollect a shloka from Bhagavad Gita, which is a very famous shloka, which I encourage all my students to again stick it in their desk, because that helps in our everyday communication amongst Vaishnavas. Bhagavad Gita 17.15. Anudvegakaram vakyam satyam priyahitam chaya swabhyasanam chaiva vanmayam tapa uchyate. Austerity of speech consists in speaking words that are truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and not agitating to others, and also in regularly reciting Vedic literature. Srila Prabhupada gives a very nice purport. I'll leave it to you all to read it. But the point is that this lesson of how do we communicate, how do we correspond with devotees, because somebody being a leader, somebody being a Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, temple president, CEO, whatever you may be, we are still a humble servant, and all the services towards our juniors are to be done as a servant leader, as a servant towards them, to serve them nicely, to win them to Srila Prabhupada. So we are executing the orders of Srila Prabhupada under his authority. We are trying to function. Hence, the austerity of speech is very important, because Krishna consciousness is about how do we express ourselves. If we don't know to express ourselves, if we don't know to pray properly, if we don't know to present properly, probably we will not be getting the best output of this process. In Madhurya Kadambini, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains it very nicely. He says that chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra is so sublime that if you do not keep your desire plane clean, this chanting could as well fulfill some of our desires which are apparently materialistic. In the sense, he wants us, when we are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, keep your desire absolutely clean. Because nature-ish desires, they may also get fulfilled by this chanting process if you are not very focused in pure devotional life. So the point here is that in our Vaishnava relationships, in our prayer to the Supreme Lord, in our personal desire, in our progress in Krishna consciousness, all of them needs these five things: being truthful, being pleasing, talking beneficial, not agitating others, and regularly reciting in Vedic literature. And it is not either or. This is truthful and pleasing and beneficial and not agitating, and also regularly reciting in Vedic literature. And this is an art of communication. And Srila Prabhupada demonstrated it. So, angry is not directly proportional to agitation. Many times, a spiritual master being upset on a person is also needed for the disciple to get corrected. So here, this non-agitating doesn't refer to, oh, if you're saying non-agitating, we are not supposed to be angry. We should not map it that way. Angry is allowed by the spiritual master to correct his disciple, and we have many times seen this, and anger turns out to be the biggest blessings. So hence, the third reflection is our austerity of speech, of how do we communicate in a Vaishnava relationship, and through that, how do we respond to our Krishna consciousness quest. And the fourth and the final reflection in today's class is about how that in our journey of Krishna consciousness, we need to constantly remember that we are not just heart of Krishna, we are part and parcel of Krishna. So the point of part and parcel needs to be very nicely understood, because many times we have used this word part and parcel as a spirit soul, we are part and parcel of Krishna, that part and parcel of Krishna. Let us understand what is this parcel mean. We need to, we will be somewhere or other misunderstanding. Because as and when we surrender to Krishna, Krishna takes charge of us. The moment we say, Krishna, I am yours, Krishna takes responsibility for us, and Krishna expects us to take responsibility for us as well. So these two things simultaneously happens. A very nice example is Arjuna. Krishna could have taught Arjuna Bhagavad Gita plenty of times in the past, but till Arjuna accepted his situation, still Arjuna surrendered to Krishna, Krishna did not take the responsibility of educating. And when Krishna started to take responsibility, the first thing Krishna is expecting Arjuna is to also take responsibility of his decision. So the whole of second chapter, we will see many places, Krishna is telling Arjuna that, by doing this, you will be incurring sin. By doing this, your name will be blasphemed. By doing this, this will be adharma. By doing this, you will not be doing some correct things. So he is trying to encourage Arjuna, please take responsibility of your action and do the action that are supposed to be done. So the point here is that as part and parcel of the Lord, we have theoretically understood we are part of Krishna's plan and Krishna's expansion. But what is this parcel all about? This parcel all about is that when we are understanding Krishna's part and parcel, we are part of his plan in transforming ourselves. So we need to get parceled in his plan in such a way that if Krishna is making you to dance, if Krishna is expecting you to, that's why Prabhupada writes in the diary that song, Boro Kripa Koile Krishna Adame. So in that song, he's nicely writing, my dear Lord, I am just a puppet in your hand. Please make me dance the way you want me to dance. So this part and parcel has got different connotations and different explanations. But one important point that I want to say is that through this Leela, we will also understand how we are part and parcel of Krishna. Because there are many a times Krishna engages us in a way to purify us. Krishna engages in a way to make us complete perfection. Krishna engages us to use us to win more souls. So there are three categories of people to whom Krishna tests. One category of person is the one who is in the process of getting purified. Krishna tests them. Number two category of people Krishna tests is one who is already purified, so Krishna wants to make him perfect. The third category of person whom Krishna puts into testing is the one who is already self-realized, and Krishna knew for sure that such a person will not leave him, who is always going to give his life, energy, everything for the glorifying the Lord. So Krishna uses them to win more souls to him. So in the journey of Krishna consciousness, by we being part and parcel of the Lord, It is not just we are part of Krishna for just doing some service to him, but being partial is that his plan is our plan, his desire is our desire, his goals or his desire for the set goal for us is what we need to keep the goal of our life, and we need to reorganize our life in such a way that we need to walk towards that journey. So in this Daksha's pastime, you will see that Lord Shiva, Daksha, Parvati, all three of them are going to talk about these things, that how this is the will of providence, that how this whole episode panned out, why Daksha, even though he's a Prajapati, he behaved in a particular way, how Lord Shiva, he became a great gentle Vaishnava, nobody expected him to react in such an angry manner, reacted in this way. A person who does not worry about his dress, who does not worry about his appearance, who does not worry about his anything, is such a humble person, why he reacted this. And how Parvati, who, you know, couldn't tolerate the situation of Daksha and Lord Shiva, because one side is her father, another side is her husband, and she doesn't want to take anyone's side, so she decided to suicide herself. And how Lord Shiva save her from this, calamity. So through that, the second parcel is very nicely explained how this whole Leela has got a plan, and we are part of Krishna's plan, and we are parcel of the Krishna's plan. So it is not that Krishna is we are different from Krishna's activities. When we understand we are part and parcel, we are part of Krishna's activities in transforming ourselves and also being part of Krishna's agenda in winning more and more souls to Srila Prabhupada. So these four reflections helps us to churn this particular Leela into the full depth. And as usual, Maitreya is helping Parikshit Maharaj in responding, in clarifying various questions of Parikshit Maharaj, in turn help us to Maitreya is answering Vidura, who in turn have been discussing with Maitreya, and both Parikshit Maharaj and all of us got a response on how in our own devotional journey we need to learn to conduct ourselves, we need to learn to respond to situations, and we need to learn to keep our consciousness in such a way to serve Vaishnava and learn from a Vaishnava, and how we are supposed to be understanding the part and parcel of nature of the spirit soul, and that way we will be able to correlate to all these wonderful Leela, because these Leela are not just a historical episode, they are meant for transforming our consciousness. Hare Krishna. So with this I end here. If there are any questions or comments, I'm happy to clarify. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthra Srivad Bhagavatam ki jai. Any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dhanvat Pranam. Very nice class, Prabhuji. I was glued to it all the time. Would like to know more about the parcel part, Prabhuji. I'd need some more maybe examples to clearly understand that, Prabhu.
I missed your last sentence, Prabhuji. More about what you want to know?
Part and parcel. So I would like to know more about the parcel part.
Part and parcel, okay. Okay. Thank you for that. See this, part and parcel of Lord uses the word every time, whenever a spirit soul is part and parcel. Whenever Srila Prabhupada is spirit soul, and he always uses the word part and parcel. So, there is something called as Swamsa Vibhinnamsa. This is about Krishna's, expansion. Krishna self expands and Krishna expands as a separate, Swamsa means he himself come as an incarnation. Vibhinnamsa is, separated personality. So, at the same, similarly, as a Jiva, there are something called as Antana Shakti, Bhagiranga Shakti and Tatastha Shakti. So, Jiva is a marginal energy. So, as a marginal energy, we come in contact with Antaranga Shakti. When we come in contact with Krishna's internal potency, we develop spiritual consciousness. When we come in contact with Krishna's external energy, we develop materialistic consciousness. So by nature, the spirit soul is part and parcel of Krishna. The reason Prabhupada uses the word part and parcel is because he would explain that we are not just Krishna's anga, we also possess the characteristic symptoms of Supreme Lord, which means Sat, Chit and Ananda. So many times when we think part, oh, maybe we are Krishna's hand, maybe we have a different understanding of how this part of and part of the Lord is understood. So it's like we are a screw in a bigger system, or we are maybe a molecule in a bigger system. That's part, that plays a role. But why it is parcel? It means by nature we inherit the consciousness of the Supreme Lord also. So we are also eternal, we are also knowledgeable, we are also, you know, Sat, Chit, Ananda, but not that we have an infinity, we are an infinitesimal. You know, the lectures Prabhupada says, because the spirit soul is part and parcel of Krishna, so by nature he is joyful, he is seeking after joy. Every one of us, we are working so hard to find out some pleasure of life. So the point I want to say about part and parcel is, by nature, the characteristics of the Supreme Lord, in infinitesimal as quality, is there within us. Unless we try to purify them, unless we try to engage them in some service and purify it, we will just remain a part of the Lord as some separated energy or some sort of, I was part, I just, got separated and just entered. But the reason when we understand we are parcel, it means I am Sat, I am Chit, I am Ananda, and hence I need to constitute myself in such a way that I need to regain this Sat-Chit Ananda status for eternity. And for that, we will have to engage ourselves in activities which facilitates them. So the parcel nature is something very clearly explained in Srimad Bhagavatam only, and not by any other Mayavadic literature. Because in Mayavada Siddhanta, we are trying to be merging with the Brahman. And this one part and parcel is a very clear-cut differentiation of personalism. So in which we as a jiva has got the characteristics, and that characteristics we are inheriting from Krishna. And hence, we need to revive that characteristics. We need to purify that characteristics. We need to reposition ourselves in a state where we are not conditioned. And hence, the spirit soul, when it is back in the spiritual world as Nitya Siddha, what the spirit soul does is to constantly get situated in that consciousness as a servant of the Lord. That is why it is said that even though in the spiritual world there is no dust, even in the spiritual world there is no uncleanliness, still the devotees and gopis are engaged in mopping, cleaning, keeping the place clean, because the consciousness in which they exist. So being parcel is to understand one notch up, that I am not only Krishna's expansion, not only Krishna's Krishna's part, but at the same time I am having the characteristics of qualities of the Supreme Lord, which because of me being his parcel, I need to revive them and reconstitute, re-engage myself in the service of the Lord. Am I making sense, or is it clear?
Yes, Prabhu. Very much, Prabhu, very much. Because every time we hear this word part and parcel, we only think in the realm of part, and we don't really focus on the parcel. But the way you've explained it, it's so nice, Prabhuji. Thank you very much, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Anybody else have any other question?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, 110th Pranam. All Gurushir, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev. Prabhuji, how nicely you explained that how the devotee has to behave with the newcomer or other devotee, that initiation or Tulsi Kanti or the dress is not important, but he or she should more and more humble from inside. And the weeds should be not come. And how sincerely we have to serve Vaishnava. Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for guide us and for inspiring us every time. Tendrat Pranam, all Guru Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev.
Hare Krishna. Anybody else has any other questions or comments?
Yeah. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Tanat Pranam, our glorious Trishla Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Prabhuji, thank you for your very, very inspiring class, Prabhu. A lot of things you mentioned. I really like the point part of sense gratification and sincere means, which comes from the sense gratification and then bhakti comes from our sincerity. This is the point, it's very nice. And also, Prabhu, that I have a question in that the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita verse, the pleasing, when we, the austere speech means, for me it's very difficult to cultivate that quality. Prabhuji, can you more explain about that, how we can cultivate that austerity in speech?
For some reason, you know, I'm not sure if you're all able to hear. Everybody's speaking pretty fluid, you know, with the flow. But for some reason, I'm having a lot of breaks in hearing. I'm not sure if even my speaking is a lot of break. But I read the question. The question is that of the verse that I refer from Bhagavad Gita, how to cultivate the pleasing spirit in our relationship. Is that the question?
Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu.
Okay. So, we don't have any rights. Okay, pleasing. When we will be unpleasing, unpleasant? Unpleasant is a sign of arrogance. Unpleasant is a sign of disrespect. Unpleasant is a sign of ego. Okay. So the word pleasing has got a very direct connectivity towards one of the 4 points of Trinathapi Sunichena verse. Trinathapi Sunichena Taroriva Sahishtarapi Sahishna Amanina Manadena. Manadena means giving respect. So the pleasing has got direct link to respect. I think I've shared this before. As a forum, as a devotee, we all don't have any rights, absolutely no rights to disrespect anybody in this world. I'm not even talking about disrespect any other devotee. We don't have any rights to disrespect anyone else in this world. Disrespect is considered as a most degraded characteristics. So when we understand this, we will naturally be knowing how to deal with anybody. So pleasing is a direct sign of respect. And pleasing also doesn't mean not to show any displeasure. So there's a very nice example that I'll give for this pleasing. Prahlad Maharaj. I'll give you 4 or 5 examples. Probably you can, you know, one of the examples we can detail. Mandodari. Prahlad Maharaj. The great, Vibhishana. So, if you see, all these peoples had got various reasons that they need not be pleasing to anybody. Assume that we are spouses like Ravana. We can come and argue to all the temple presidents, to all our community members, how I am justified by my behavior of being rude because my husband or wife behaves like a Rakshasa or Rakshasi. Suppose somebody has got a father like Hiranyakashipu. All of us will have the rightful claim to come and say how I am right in my behavior. Suppose if somebody had a brother like Ravana, he would have come and said that how I am right in terms of by me not pleasing. But I have many more examples. But let us take these 3 examples. What they have proven is that they have proven these 5 things. They are truthful. They were pleasing. They spoke beneficial. They did not agitate from the perspective of forcefully instigating them. The other person got agitated not because of the words spoken by them, because by their own problem. So they spoke with a non-agitating spirit. And last but not least, they were regularly referring to Vedic literature. So since the question is on pleasing, I'll talk only about pleasing. Otherwise, we have one whole lecture we can talk about truthful, pleasing, beneficial, and especially this not agitating. So let me not go into not agitating part now. Regarding the pleasing part, Prahlad Maharaj never once disrespected his father. At the same time, never once obeyed his father. This is a very interesting irony. Many times we think obedience and respect in one single bucket. They are related, but they are mutually exclusive also. Not even one single advice of Hiranyakashipu Prahlad Maharaj followed. But not even one time, because Hiranyakashipu tortured Prahlad Maharaj. So you can still be pleasing to even a person who is not supporting to you. You can still be pleasing to a person. The reason, where does this unpleasant comes in, that Prahlad Maharaj doesn't consider any one point in time himself as an authority of Vedic literature. Because I am practicing bhakti, because I am doing something, doesn't mean that I am authority. He was tortured. Haridas Thakur was beaten up in 22 marketplaces. Can you imagine? You are chanting 22 hours of Hare Krishna Mahamantra every day, and one fine day you are called by somebody, beaten up in marketplaces, whipped on your back to an extent that you bleed. What will we go and tell? We will challenge Krishna. Krishna, is this the result of the chanting? We'll go and challenge our temple president. We'll go and challenge everybody in this world and argue. But look at the way they responded. Which means there is no 1% of ahambhav, or what we call as ego, or a pride, or something called as I consider myself an authority. So this pleasing comes from the corner of how I consider myself as a simple servant, and I don't have any rights to disrespect anybody. There's a very nice series of lecture by, you know, one of the very senior disciple of Gauragovinda Maharaj, my name Madhavananda Prabhu. So he has got a series of lecture called Culture of Respect. He says a Vaishnava community's one of the hub, core, nucleus is respect. So the pleasing comes from the corner. We need to understand that our rights, our adhikar, our duty is to respect and not disrespect. When you do not disrespect, pleasing is a natural outcome. So if you have to be pleasing towards anybody, then you need to respect. For you need to respect, you need to understand everything that I see belongs to Krishna. Raghunath Bhatta Goswami used to close both of his ears. Even when two non-devotees used to argue amongst themselves, he used to think these two people are jiva, they are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. How can I even participate or hear even them abusing each other? He used to respect to that extent that I am supposed to be respecting towards them, not find any faults. Only because Srila Prabhupada and all the great Goswamis, they stepped down from the level of Uttamadhikari to Madhyamadhikari to help us. Otherwise, a Uttamadhikari, a superlative devotee, does not discriminate. He is very kind and pleasing to everybody. Just because he is pleasing to everybody doesn't mean that he will accept anything and everything. He will still stick on to be truthful, but he will still be pleasing. Just because you are speaking the truth doesn't mean that you have to shout. Just because you are talking something beneficial doesn't mean that you can agitate. Just because you are talking from Vedic literature doesn't mean that you can be proud and, you know, egoistic and show your authority. So pleasing comes from a corner when we know I am supposed to be respecting. You respect every single spirit soul. I'll tell you one small story of Vasudev devotee. He was having leprosy. He was in South India. When Mahaprabhu went for South India Yatra, he happened to pass by this Vasudev leper's place. And this Vasudev leper, he had leprosy all over his body. And from the wound of his body, there used to be lots of worms which used to be eating his body in the leprosy. That much is acuteness of his leprosy. And he used to stink bad, but used to be constantly remembering about Krishna. And he got to such a state of his consciousness when even one of the insect or one of the worm that used to fall out of the wound, he used to pick them up and put them back, saying that because of my problem of itching, how can I stop another living entity getting his own food? I mean, this is, you know, height of surrender and height of respect, but that's the level of, you know, expectation when you're in the spiritual world. Yes, it is difficult. And why do you want Krishna consciousness to be easy? If you want to be easy, then there's a formula given, which is Krishna consciousness is simple for simple-minded and difficult for complicated-minded. So if you become a simple-minded person, Krishna consciousness is easy. You chant, you dance, you serve, and go back home back to Godhead. But between cup and the lip, there's a gap. So we need to fill that gap. And that's why all these wonderful purports and so many opportunities are meant, because we are complicated people. Had we been simple, Prabhupada's two statements are good enough. Rake Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rake Ke. Hare Krishna. I hope I've answered your question.
Hari Hari Vol Dantar Pranam.
Yes, Prabhu, it's very, very nice. I never thought that respect and usually my thinking was if I recite, I have to also listen there. Means that was in a way mistake for me. Sometimes we need to listen them, but it's a very clear understanding, Prabhu. Thank you. Thank you so much for giving your association, Prabhu, in the conference. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you all. Looking forward for more Sangha in the future. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Sorry, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu. I have what lecture you were telling. It is in the Skandijayatri, Prabhu. Means Gaur Govinda Maharaj disciple. You are telling, you are giving the reference of series respect.
Yeah, there's a lecture called Culture of Respect.
It is where
Culture
we can...
Culture of Respect by Madhavananda Prabhu.
Where we can find, Prabhu, this?
I think it is there in Desiree, I'm not sure.
Oh, Culture.
You can check it in Desiree, otherwise I can give it. It's very nice. It's a five-part series called Culture of Respect. Prabhu's lecture. Very, very, very analytical, very deep, and very reflective.
Okay, Culture of Madhavananda Prabhu. Okay. Okay, Prabhu. Okay, thank you. I'll try.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Do you have a web link where we can listen to your lectures? You have uploaded some of them, Prabhu?
I have, I'm just doing something. Probably I can share them. I have my Facebook page where I have my lectures, as well as, some private link I have. I can share them. I generally don't, I have not yet publicly shared, but if somebody is interested, I can share them, Prabhuji.
Yeah, please do, Prabhu. I would like to listen to your lectures, Prabhuji. They're very inspiring.
Send me a private. You can send me a private message to me. I will share them to you. No problem.
Okay, Prabhu. I will.
Yes, Prabhu. I also need it. A lot of things for me. It was very, very helpful in practicing. So I suppose to send you Yes, Prabhu.
You can see me in my WhatsApp group. My WhatsApp ID is there. Just send me a personal WhatsApp. I will share the details.
Okay. Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. All goes to Srila Prabhu and Guru Maharaj. Very, very wonderful class, Prabhuji. And very nice explanation. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. We all wait for your classes, Prabhuji, when I'm getting to Prabhuji.
Yes, it's very nice. Nice answers.
Thank you. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice.
Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna.
Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hari Hari Bol.
Yeah, you're amazing.